the entire property world pretty much is DIY to some extent. Right. And there's this, if you think of this as like a 2x2 matrix, like here's the investing and there's DIY and professional. And then in real estate, it's all DIY. And then the only people doing the professional are Knox.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
David Friedman has more than 15 years of experience starting and leading technology companies. In 2018, he co-founded Knox Financial, a fintech company named the 2021 Housing Wire Tech 100 for creating technology solutions that make owning investment property as simple as owning a share of stock. Prior to Knox, Friedman founded Boston Logic and served as the company's CEO for more than a decade. During his tenure, Boston Logic grew into a leading provider of real estate brokerage software. He sold Boston Logic in 2016 and continues to sit on the board, while Boston Logic now operates under the name Property Base. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for coming on. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show, can you briefly tell us? We got a little bit of this in your bio, but briefly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Well, sure. So as my bio said, I ran a real estate software company for a long time. And while I was doing that, I had this experience which caused me to found the company, which was, well, one day I got engaged. I've been dating my wife for a while. We got engaged and we said, hey, we've got too much stuff to fit in your place or my place. We better buy a bigger place.
Right.
It's a common experience. And you know how it is, you know, you have stuff and they have crap. Right. So depending on who you ask, you got too much stuff or too much crap to fit in your home. Right. Yeah. You can edit that out. Maybe up to you.
That's good. Cause it's said the other way around too. They're like,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Depends on who you ask, who's got what. Right. Yeah. Anyway. And so we had to buy a bigger home. And so I went to put the condo I'd lived in for 10 years on the market. And I came to realize that it was the best investment I had ever made. I had bought a $500,000 condo, which in Boston is very normal. And this is 15 years ago, by the way. You know, these days that condo is $1 million. That's part of the story. But sure. I put down $100,000 to buy that home. And that $100,000 in 10 years had turned into $350,000 because I'd made $250,000.
Sure.
Right. And that felt like an enormous amount of money to me. But at the same time, I was convinced that the home was going to continue to go up in value. And so I said to myself, I should not sell this home. This is my best investment. What kind of investing idiot sells their best investment, especially if you are confident it'll continue to go up in value? And I started thinking about all the things I'd have to do to turn that home into the right investment. I should probably refi. I need different insurance. I need a tenant who's going to do the maintenance. I threw my hands up and I sold it. Well, the new owners held it for only 4 years and they sold it again for another $200,000 more. And I felt like $200,000 had been stolen from me. And it was stolen by like younger Dave from older Dave. And I started telling all sorts of people this story as like a self-deprecating joke. And sure enough, they all had the same story. Oh yeah, you can't even believe it. I owned this loft in Brooklyn in the 80s. It's worth millions more now. Like, you know, those type of stories. And so it dawned on me that, you know, there needs to be a better way to keep your home as an investment long-term. And I sort of bounced this off Spencer, who's the co-founder here. And he said, you know, the same thing happened to me. And then I thought about all the other investments I have and they're all passive, right? So I own stocks and bonds and mutual funds and things like that. And they're under the watchful eye of this fella over here, this lady over there. And she's at this great brand on Wall Street. And like, I have full faith and credit that they're going to steward my investments towards my financial goals. And we looked around and said, who does that in real estate? Doesn't exist. And we created Knox.
Interesting. All right. So walk us through, I mean, to me, and obviously I know a little bit more about your company because I've done research on it and been reading, but to the average listener, that would sound like you created Knox, which is a property management company. Why are you guys, and how are you guys not just a property management company?
Well, about a third of what we do is, so let's start with financial, analysis and wealth advisory. So first thing we have to do is help people understand the investment that they own. Mm. And whether it's a portfolio of properties they already rent out or a home they're moving out of, what is that investment? Can it be made to align? Can it be made to align with their financial goals? So when you're young, you have different financial goals than when you're retiring. If you have a portfolio, you might treat that differently than one property. there's different risk and tax implications. So people need help with that. And that is something that doesn't exist out there. People have to figure that out and DIY it. And if you own one property today and then buy three more, the picture changes. So you need to have another analysis. And I was just on the phone with somebody who went from one property to seven in the last 9 months. Okay, so now we have to look at risk and the right debt program, et cetera. So let's start with analysis. The next thing you got to do is figure out what is the right financing for that portfolio. And depending on what financing they already have, you might recommend different products for them. Some people don't want financing at all. They want maximum cash flow. Next piece is insurance and risk mitigation. So what are the risk mitigation strategies? Do you want to set up an LLC in which you're going to house your portfolio to limit your risk? Certainly getting the right insurance policies, because when you move out of a home that you've owned, your old insurance policy is no longer valid. You need a different policy. If you have multiple properties, do you look at a portfolio program? And then you have to place a tenant. So that's we do own a real estate brokerage that operates in several states where we place tenants. Now, we don't charge brokerage fees, so that's part of our incentive structure, which is very different. And then you need to make sure that the tenant is happy, and when something goes wrong, maintenance is done appropriately. So that's the property management part, right? And then lastly, bookkeeping and banking. So you're going to need, if you're going to do property investing, you probably want to create a separate bank account and have a separate credit card and all that. With Knox, you don't need that. We create the account in our system. We create an account for you. We collect rent into that account. We do all of your bookkeeping and bill pay. We send you net profits. We can direct deposit them into any bank account you choose. And then we do all your tax reporting at the end of the year as well. So we make sure you're getting every deduction you should. So tax is sort of like the final leg of the stool there. So like I said, 30% of what we do is placing tenants and making sure they're happy and maintaining homes. But there's a whole constellation of financial services that we couple in with that to make it a better investment product.
It sounds like the ideal person for you is either someone A, that does not have any experience in real estate, or somebody that just doesn't want to be bothered with it at all. Like they want to do, like you said, the stockbroker. Hey man, you make the trades. Here's the money.
Yeah. So yes. So those are two really good profiles. The way you can look at it is the world of, say, equities investing, stocks and bonds and mutual funds. 80% of those investments are made through major Wall Street firms, financial advisory, classically they were known as stockbrokers, right? And then you got about 20% doing things on like E-Trade and Robinhood. And you talk to any financial advisor and they say, yeah, when I take over somebody who's been DIYing their portfolio, they find all sorts of investing mistakes, right? The entire property world pretty much is DIY to some extent. Right. And there's this, if you think of this as like a 2x2 matrix, like here's the investing and there's DIY and professional. And then in real estate, it's all DIY. And then the only people doing the professional are Knox, right? And so any portfolio we look at, we find things that people are doing in not the most perfect way. Sure. In all sorts of ways that they're making some mistakes, or they're taking too much risk, or they're not charging enough rent, but they should have refied, or they've got the wrong, they're underinsured or overpaying for insurance, you name it, right? So we get in there and pretty quickly help them realize a better return on their investment.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's the next piece of the equation is, you know, if you can streamline this stuff, can you increase NOI over, you know, typically what the DIYers are doing?
Sure. So NOI is one of the outcomes we go for. And yeah, very often we do increase NOI. So our cost structure just saves people money. So we can get into that in a bit, but we encourage our investors to think about not just NOI, but IRR, right? So again, if you had a stock portfolio, for example, you would look at the value of that portfolio the day you started investing. And if you wanted to look at your financial advisor's performance, you look at, okay, how's my portfolio doing X years in the future, right? What do I own as far, like how much wealth do I have here? How much assets do I have here? And so that's how we treat our portfolios. It's not just about NOI for a lot of our clients. Some of them are, you know, the younger our clients are, the more they're looking for IRR. What is my rate of return? How does that compare against my portfolio of stocks and bonds or some other investment? Some of our clients are looking for tax shelters. So we're helping them figure out how to shelter income from taxes. And then some of our clients are retired, and NOI is really important because that's supporting their lifestyle. And they get this really nice balance of principal value growth and NOI and tax benefits. And so when you compare those to the other investment alternatives they have, their portfolio is outperforming in a big way.
Right, right. That's interesting. What was it like launching the company and then really onboarding your first series of clients? And then how have you grown the company over the last few years?
You know, it's funny when you launch a company, you like hypothesize on who's going to want your product, right? And we had a hypothesis. There's three like archetypes of customers. And our first three customers were exactly in those archetypes. It was so funny. So we assumed that our clients would be either young and moving because they were having a kid or had a new job or got married or something like that. And the first client signed out, it was exactly that. It's a young couple, one kid, one of them got a new job, two time zones away. They were living upstairs in a two family they'd bought, put in our program. The IRR we calculated on that property was 51% per year when they put it in our program. It's probably outperformed that since.
Wow.
Just because of the way property prices have gone in the last few years, just insane, right? The next one was a fellow who retired. He was a widow. He's moving into his second home full time, and he had this great one bed condo. Boom, right in. His kitchen was really old. We remodeled the kitchen, rented for top rate, and he's still living two states away and happy and making money and no debt, right? The third was a doctor with three units who said, "I've stopped buying property. I don't have time." And took on his portfolio, doing great. Rents are up, like, you know, happy person. There's these three people there. You're moving out of your property and your two bookends of life, retirement or earlier, because there's this middle section where you live there for a really long time, right? And then this private landlord who he's living in a big house somewhere, he's a doctor, right? But he's got this portfolio, doesn't have time for it. And then, of course, when we got in the portfolio, we found like, oh, he's undercharging for rent here. And this person was month to month. Let's get it all right and tight.
Right. So those were the first few types of clients that you guys had. Has that profile kind of changed any, or is that still pretty much who comes on with you guys?
We are more and more focusing on people who are moving out of their homes and keeping them as long-term investments because we're doing a lot more financing advisory now. So, you know, that moment when you move is this incredible opportunity to turn the home you're moving out of into an investment.
Right.
There's a lot of money you can save by doing that. The financing picture is just so dramatically different now. Like, you know, back in 2019, rates were obviously different. Property values are very different. Now, there's all sorts of companies that exist and help people in that transitional moment. Some do buy before you sell. Some do all sorts of innovative takes on first-time homebuyer stuff. And we're really focused on telling people, hey, for, you know, the data shows the vast majority of homeowners, selling is not a good idea.
Right.
And we're dedicated to helping you figure out how to make holding possible while doing so serves your financial goals.
Yeah. And so talk to us about that, because you intimated that when people are moving out is when you are talking to them about financing possibilities. What does that mean?
Yeah. So for there's a few financing things you got to think about at that moment. First of all, how are you going to find the down payment on your next home? Is that something you've already saved up? Number one. Number two, do you need to do a refi or a second lien on your current property in order to find that? And then when you do those things, how are the banks going to view you as a borrower? There's things like DTI, debt to income, and stuff like that. Can we make sure that you're still going to qualify for the mortgage on your next home while holding on to the other home? And then can we get the bank all the paperwork they need to be satisfied with your financial picture? So ushering people through that process is a big part of what we do. And then if you're coming on with a portfolio already, again, often we're finding that people think, oh, I'll never be able to refinance this portfolio. And, you know, we just know the marketplace so well that we can find them really advantageous financing, even though they tried themselves. But like a lot of people do is that they're like, okay, well, I own a couple of units, maybe a couple of multifamilies. I have a day job. I call my banker. Maybe I call a couple mortgage brokers and I don't find what I need. What they don't realize is that they probably call the banker who does mostly, let's say 95% primary residence mortgages. And so that bank doesn't really have appetite for investment property. Right. And so they give up because they have to go back to being a professional, a parent, and all those good things. And we're also building some of our own finance products because there are gaps in the financing market that we can fill for our customers who want access to their equity in the form of cash that the marketplace just right now doesn't support. So we're going to be actually rolling out some of our own financing products in the coming months.
Interesting. What are those gaps, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
I'll give you an example. Right now, it's incredibly hard to get a HELOC on an investment property.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right. So we're going to be offering one for people on our platform. Another financing product is, you know, let's say this is a very similar thing, but like you need a new roof, right? Okay. Do you want to shell out $15,000? Do you want us to finance that purchase, that project? That's something we can do. I could go on, but there's gaps, another, like this is a little inside baseball, but if you own a home and you're moving out, you can't do a refi and then apply for a new primary mortgage and say, hey, by the way, I'm keeping the old one, right? That's about 6 months earlier. So there's a window there where you can't refi your old one. So we can do some lending in that space and then help those people hold on because they can, let's say you own 40% of the equity in your home. You just need to grab 10% of it. Like a proper refi is not actually going to work for you at that moment because you maybe just had an offer accepted.
Right.
Right. So we can do some lending in that scenario to bridge that gap for people.
Interesting. That's fun. Yeah. And I'm sure that the iterations of this will only continue to grow as you guys, as you continue to serve a wider and wider customer base. What have been some challenges that you guys have run into growing this company?
Oh, geez, every startup runs into challenges. So we've had a lot of demand. And so just keeping up with it, making sure we can keep the quality of our service as high as we want, that's a challenge. Hiring great people is always the biggest challenge of building a startup. And I've been in startups since for 20 odd years now. It's always about the people. We've been really lucky that, we've hired like unbelievable people, but the mission that we are chasing, is one that a lot of people really gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. So we actually get people going, oh my gosh, I love what you're doing. Are you hiring for this? And we're not, but we're like, hey, we'll keep you around. So we get people coming to us saying, hey, we want to be part of what you're building. And that's a privilege. Right. It's a real privilege.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's interesting. Are there geographic constraints to what you guys are doing?
Yes. Yeah, so we're operating in 7 states right now. And really focus on like 5 or 6 cities, in fact, but like we're operating in 7 states and only in certain like metropolitan areas. For example, like we operate in Austin and Houston, but there's a big gap between those cities that we don't cover, right? And because there's like a 2-hour drive, I've done that drive myself, but like, there's an hour in between that we don't cover out there. It's a lot of beautiful prairie. we don't really operate there. So we really concentrate on, and as we expand, we'll continue this. We pick a metropolitan area that we want to focus on, and we pick a radius, and then we actually decide which zip codes we cover. And in order to do that, we have to have certain coverage. So we need to have people who can actually do showings in those areas. We need to make sure that our maintenance partners will cover those areas, and we've got the full complement of really, we'd like to work with really large scale maintenance vendors, but there's usually some gaps like. They may do everything for the home, but they're not a tree service company. Right? Like, can we make sure that if a tree has got a leaning limb, we can get somebody there in a reasonable amount of time, that kind of thing. So we do make sure our coverage maps are tight.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that was going to be one of my next questions was just the challenge. and I think you hit on it maybe on the internal side is that finding great people. And, that's always a challenge in a startup, but I would think on the external, contract help would be a challenge as well as you guys are as you're growing your firm. I mean, especially the trades right now are in high demand, mm-hmm. across all sectors. So finding qualified contractors, and maybe you hit this on the head. So maybe I'm repeating what you've already said, but you guys like to work with, did you say like national vendors really more than?
Trust me, I wish I could find national scale vendors. Somebody's got to build that business, please. Yeah. So one of the challenges one has as an individual property owner is that you're just that one person,
right?
That one guy or gal calling that person saying, hey, can you come over and do my one project? We try to get deep relationships with people and spend 6 or 7 figures with them a year. So we end up being one of their bigger clients and they treat us incredibly well. We put in place an agreement with each vendor before they work with us. That says, hey, they're going to carry the right insurance and they're only going to have licensed people show up for things that require a license, like electric or gas work or something like that. But more importantly, we're saying, hey, we're going to pay you on time and you're going to get it. We're not going to mark your work up because we don't mark up. That's a big part of what we do. So Knox works on a very simple structure. We don't charge brokerage fees. We don't mark up maintenance. We keep 10% of rent that moves through our system, and that's it. Wow. So when people add up all the costs that they usually shoulder, it's like 15 to 20% is where it comes out. And our 10 is a lot lower. And a lot of our clients really like to know that that's, you know, they have that peace of mind knowing that there's not going to be like a renewal fee jumped on them or something like that. There's no hidden fees, no line items. Other than the 10%, there's just time, materials for maintenance. And the price on the invoice is the price that you're going to pay. And we're going to pay that on your behalf out of your account.
That's interesting because there's often been, and this we're venturing more into property management here, but been the misalignment of interest,
right?
Call it between property managers and owners. You know, they get paid on tenant turnover. You know,
yep.
We're going to take a month of rent. They get paid, you know, cost of maintenance and repairs. Well, good thing it's a $3,000 bill because now we get to make 20% on top of that. Like, and suddenly all your interests just end up being miles apart. In the end.
Yeah, there's perverse incentive both, and we sort of separate out like the property managers of the world and real estate brokers of the world, because in a lot of markets they're not the same people.
Right.
So property managers do have this markup, so they like maintenance. You know, that's we think that's not the right incentive structure. Number one. Number two, yeah, the turnover issue, you know, we can actually incentivize people to stick around. Mm-hmm. Right. So if turnover is actually a revenue source versus if for us, turnover is a cost center.
Sure.
You know, so we're incentivized to keep those tenants happy and keep them around versus your realtor who's looking to make money.
Right.
They have the wrong incentives.
Exactly. Yeah, that's fascinating. It sounds like you guys are working maybe with a, how do I say this, but a nicer product. Overall, when it comes to the quality of home, is that more accurate, or am I just reading into something there?
I mean, honestly, we've got some subsidized housing on our platform as well. So people on, you know, state housing assistance, you know, we have a fundamental belief at Knox that everybody deserves a safe and comfortable place to live. So, you know, you could have two three beds that are a mile away from each other, and one's fetching $1,500 a month in rent, one's fetching $4,500 a month in rent. Mm-hmm. We don't think either of those units is beneath being on our platform. And fundamentally, one of those owners paid a lot less for that property and one paid a lot more. So they have different economics. And so long as that owner of the less expensive property is willing to keep it in good shape, doesn't have to be, you know, sub-zero fridges. It can be just in decent shape and safe and air and watertight, then that's a home that can fit in our program. Owners who don't want to do appropriate repairs on homes and leave appliances not working, they're not going to last in our program. We're not going to let them stay.
Got it. Man, this has been fascinating. I love what you guys are doing, and I love how you are making this accessible and really. It's beyond turnkey. It's probably one of the most passive ways I've heard of owning either single family homes or even a portfolio of single family homes. So love what you're doing and love what you're bringing to the market. This is great. Final four questions for you are this, David. Same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate, no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
$20,000.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I've only got $20,000. So, there are a lot of really cool platforms out there that allow you to buy like a fractional share in an investment. You know, we share a board member with Yield Street, for example. Like I might look at if I only had $20,000, because I can't really buy an investment property for $20,000.
Austin, you can get.
Hardly even in like, I mean, you could find maybe in Texas somewhere. We operate in three cities in Texas, but I think at that price point, I would look at one of those platforms and look at some interesting, you know, owning a piece of a debt portfolio of some large commercial real estate investment. I would make something. I already own investment property, but you said I have no experience. I would learn from it. I would invest alongside some institutional or some, you know, pool of a bunch of other people and learn from that investment.
Right. That's great. If you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
You know, it's funny. I just was asked to answer a similar question for Forbes. I think a lot of people like think they can bite off more than they can chew. Like, hey, I'm going to buy this thing and I'm going to renovate it. And then I'm going to get it leased up. And then I'm going to do all this stuff. And they do it like early in their career. And I'm going to get maximum leverage. And suddenly they're like in over their head. Right. And my answer is, there's always a chance to optimize the property later. Get it working for you without swinging for the fences. And then you can do a reno upon turn. You can do a refi down the road. Just get it working for you and give yourself some time and learn along the way.
Right. That's great. That's great question.
If you're doing it on your own, that is. If you're doing it with us, like, it's a different story.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Question number three is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Oh, I think if you're not investing with an eye towards ESG, and ESG is, for those who don't know out there, it's like, my investments in companies that are doing right by the planet. If you're not noticing the forest fires and hurricanes and all things going on our planet right now, and putting your money buying companies that are doing right by the planet, I don't think you're really investing responsibly.
Got it. I love that. Last question for you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or your company, what is the best way to do that?
Knox, K-N-O-X, knoxfinancial.com. Check out our website. You can go on there and see how your home would perform on our platform. A simple calculator takes seconds. And then if you want to have a property analysis by one of our people and get some customized numbers, you can sign up for that too.
That's fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.